Good morning, everybody. We appreciate you tuning into our radio program this morning of the Beacon Church of Christ here on TGRN, our internet broadcast. Appreciate your attendance to this program. Over the past several weeks, we've been involved with the COVID isolation problem, so hope and pray this is serving some viable resource to you. We thank you for not only tuning into it, but telling your friends and neighbors about it. And also, I want to encourage you that as opportunity presents, if you can come and be with us at the Beacon Church of Christ in our actual services, we would really enjoy that and hope and pray that that opportunity would be open to you very, very soon. If you are going to be attending the assembly and you have any concerns about the spread of the virus, please be aware that we offer all kinds of protection, personal protection devices for your assistance if that is something that you need. So be considerate of those things if that would help be helpful to you. I want to ask you this morning to be turning in your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we will be considering verses 4 through 14. Philippians 3, verses 4 through 14. It's a bit of a extended context, but it is one that has somewhat for us to do with in our time together this morning. So Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 4, here in just a few minutes, we will actually undertake a reading of verse number 7. Philippians 3, verse 7 is where we'll start a reading here in just a minute. Before we get to that reading, I want to ask a very simple question, a question that is probably the answer to that question, rather, is probably different for everyone who would consider it. And the question is this: what is it do you do to remember important things that you don't want to forget? Now, all of us have different ways to go about this. Sometimes what people will do is they will tie a string around their finger. Personally, I would probably forget what the string is there for, but some people find that effective, so they might tie a string around their finger to help them remember. Other individuals, well, they make notes, and they place those notes in conspicuous places so that that note will remind them of what it was they had on their mind. Other times, what people will do is they will put that information in their cell phone or some other electronic device that maybe they use. Sometimes what people do is they tell someone else, and they're relying on the other individual to help them remember so that they don't forget whatever it was they were trying to remember. And still, other people, believe it or not, use a method of kind of making a little rhyme or a little song about it. Psychologists tell us that one of the best ways to remember things is to put them in a song. And that's why we remember songs so well, because there's something about the way our minds work that we kind of attach on to the melody, and that melody helps us remember the words. But anyway, whatever it is, we all have different ways to remember important things in our lives. But sometimes it is more important to forget. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, well, that's a good thing, because I don't seem to have any problem with forgetting, if you're anything like me. Well, in the passage that we're about to read, what we're going to find out is that Paul is talking about forgetting some things, that sometimes it's important to forget things. And so here's what Paul has to say. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 7, where Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. We'll concentrate on verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In this particular reading, Paul brings up here in verse number 13 the idea of forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. He's talking about forgetting some things in his past so that he can move forward and progress with his Christian life. You see, you cannot move forward if you're always looking backwards, right? Or as somebody has said, don't look back. You're not going that way. I like it put like this. Forget what happened in the past that held you down, but never forget what it taught you. This morning, I want to use this passage here in Philippians chapter 3 to talk about reaching forth, the importance of forgetting the things that are behind us, that are around us, and reaching forward to our goal up ahead. In this very short passage, Paul has just one thing in mind, and that one thing is his mind for where his life is headed now. He has a goal. He has an aim. He has something that gives him direction in his life. What is your goal in this world? You know, if our lives do not have some kind of direction, something we are focusing on, then we will make little, if any, progress toward achieving anything. Now, for the Christian, what that goal means is the spiritual goal of living for Christ. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So that's what life is all about. That verse in one short sentence carries with it the entire thrust of the Christian life. To live, what is life about? To live is Christ. That's what it's all about. And to keep a clear view on that goal, we're going to have to unclutter our lives with trivial things and remember only the most important things and strive for those things. Our world is a pretty distracting place. I don't have to tell you about that. You know it firsthand. People rioting. Some of those people don't even know why they're rioting. Distrust of individuals leading us from people in the media down to the World Health Organization, and maybe many people in between. Race relation is still causing division and unrest in our world. I couldn't even begin to list all the chaos that is happening in our world right now. But we all know we are all virtually connected in our 2020 world. We live with a constant stream of what's happening here and on the other side of the globe, if you care to look. Somehow, we have to filter out those things that are the essential things, hold on to that, and let all the distracting clutter just sort of sink to the bottom. Well, that is just where God's Word helps us so much. From this and other passages, what I'd like to do is put before you some biblical truths that will help us keep moving forward in a spiritual way. And I want to begin with this one, first of all. And that is, remember who you are. Reaching forward will require remembering who you are. It will require focusing in on that goal. Now, Paul is writing this passage from the position, the vantage point of being in Christ. He is now at this point in his life a Christian. That change in his life occurred back in Acts chapter 9. And from the time that Paul became a Christian, he lived that life with dedication and with fullness. Several times he'll talk about the idea of being in Christ. He'll talk about that in verse 9 where he says, "And being found in him." He'll talk about it in verse 10, "that I may know him." He'll talk about it in verse 12 where he says, "But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I've been apprehended." He says it again in verse number 14, where he talks about pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All of these terms are reflective of an individual whose life is now in Christ and it's moving in that direction and has no intention to abandon that direction. After Paul became a Christian, he never forgot that. He lived a life forever changed. He had a past, but he's not going back to the past. He had a past, but he's not going to let the past hold him down. It didn't matter where he went or who he was with, he was always a Christian. Now that's a very good example for you and I. At all times, remember who you are. No matter who you're with, Christian, remember who you are. No matter where you're going, Christian, remember what you're doing. If someone is watching, or if no one is watching, remember who you are. If someone will hear you, if no one will hear you, remember who you are. When you are at home, or when you are away from home, remember who you are. When you're with friends, or maybe when you're by yourself, remember who you are. When there is nothing to be gained, or when there is everything to be gained, remember who you are. At all times, and in every place, in every circumstance, remember who you are. Remember that you are a blood-bought child of God. Now tomorrow, what that may mean for you is that you're going back to work. When you go back to work, you may be the only Christian in that entire room. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget you may be the only Christian in that entire workplace or facility where you happen to be. Don't ever forget that you're a Christian, because your eternity and the eternity of those around you is hanging in the balance. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 that you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And then he said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget that you are a child of God. For some of you, for others of you, school is not that far off. When you go back to school, whatever school may look like, don't forget that God and the people around you have a right to expect you to be different. They expect you. They have a right to expect you to be the salt of the earth. When you're on social media, remember who you are. The people online have a right to expect your post to be different. The online community has a right to expect your pictures to be different. God has a right to expect you to be different whether you are online or whether you are in person. In Romans 12, beginning in verse 1, Paul tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Get this. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is, Paul would say, your reasonable service. Is it unreasonable? Is God unreasonable for us to live, asking us to live different than the people in the world round about us? You see, nothing will give you a clear focus in this life but to remember who you are. Now, I know being different is not easy. It's not easy to say no when everyone else is saying yes. It's not easy to stand out from the crowd. When you're expected to laugh at crude jokes and you don't, that's not easy. But it is worth it. It's worth it for your soul and for the souls of anyone who may happen to be around you. Remember who you are. Remember that you are a child of God, 1 John 3 and verse 1. Remember that your name is written in heaven, Luke 10 and verse 20. Remember that you are a blood-bought member of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. Remember that you've been called out of the world and into the glorious light of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Remember who you are. Move that to the top. Filter out all of the clutter and all of the chaos that is going on in our world. Don't be distracted by those things and move to the top. Move to the top that I am a born-again child of God. And God expects me to live like that. And by doing that, by remembering who you are, it will help you filter out the clutter and the nonsense of this temporary, topsy-turvy world and focus in on those things that are really important. And so remember who you are. Paul never forgot who he was, and we must not do so either. Secondly, let me say to you this morning from this passage, remember why you are here. Every Christian in this life has a vocation, and they probably also have an occupation. But remember that your vocation goes beyond your occupation. Your vocation, your Christian calling, affects everything, even your occupation. Your life is about something. You are not here just taking up time and space and food. You are not here just to pay rent and taxes and keep up with the Joneses. You are here to be a servant of God. Remember that. Remember who you are. It doesn't matter what's happening in this world. It doesn't matter how confusing and chaotic and distracting and all of the issues. It doesn't matter about those things if we keep our focus on why I am here and living on my life for God. Notice how Paul talks about this was how he approached his own life. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12, he will make the point, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now that's my King James translation. That may be a little challenging. Here it is in another translation. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I press on to make it my own. You see, that ought to be our reason for living in this world, to make it our own what Christ has called us into. So Paul had a purpose, and that purpose was to make the work God had given him to do his own work. He wrote about that to the Ephesian Christians in this way in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 10, where he said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Some Bible translations will read, "We are his masterpiece, to do good works." That's why we are here, to do the works that God has called us to do. God is no one else who can do his work but the faithful Christian. And he's called us into that. Make that calling your own. Paul said, that's what I'm striving for. I'm striving to make that calling my own. I'm striving to make that vocation my own. Now that work that God has given us to do is not complicated. Really, it's a very simple thing. It's based upon just three ideals as we live our life in this world. Number one, we ought to be reaching out to the lost around us. That ought to be my focus. That ought to be my aim, to do God's work. And what that work is reaching out to the lost. Four times the Bible tells us something about the Great Commission in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, in Luke chapter 24, in Mark chapter 16, in Matthew chapter 28. Brethren, let's not treat the Great Commission like it is the Great Omission. You see, everyone around you every day is your mission field. Let's not forget those people. Every time you go through the doors at Walmart, you're walking into your mission field. Every time you go to the grocery store, every time you're with friends or family who are not Christians, that's your opportunity to talk about Christ to those individuals. Seeking the lost, that's what Jesus came to do, Luke 19 and verse 10. And we're to follow in his steps, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. So since that is what he did, well then that's what we do. As far as I'm aware, Jesus has not changed his plans. He's relying on his disciples of every generation to continue that mission of preaching and teaching the gospel to the people round about us. And we must be focused in on that world. Our world is a distracting place, but what will help me to let some of the clutter of this world filter out and not take up so much time and space in my life is to remember I'm here to reach out to the lost. I'm here to help the lost become Christians. I'm here, secondly, to be building up the church. Paul wrote about edifying in Romans chapter 15 and verse 2. Let us do good for our neighbor. And he'll talk about edifying and encouraging and building up one another. You know, in this world, one another is all we've got. When we come in here to this place to worship God, we ought to get recharged. Some of you, I'm sure, are around some pretty corrupt environments during your day. What would it be like if there was no relief from that? If there was never any solace, never any recharge? In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, there Lot is spoken of and how his righteous soul was vexed day by day as he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. Vexed, scraped, to scrape against or to scrape down. Literally, Lot's life was being wore down by that corrupt environment that he lived in. It's not any different for you and I. We live in a very corrupt place, and this world can scrape us down. Well, I'm glad there's a church. I'm glad that I have Christian family, and I'm glad I can come in, and no matter what has happened out in the world during the week, we can get strength and encouragement by being around one another. That's what we're here for. We're here to reach out to the lost. We're here to build up the church. And we're here to help the helpless as well. James chapter 1 and verse 27, visit or take care of, literally, visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Every day there is someone around you in worse shape than you are who needs your help, who needs your assistance. I used to have a very good friend who would say that when she got to feeling sorry for herself, she would go to Children's Hospital in Dallas and she'd volunteer for a few hours. She said, suddenly my problems didn't seem so big anymore. They didn't seem so important anymore. You know what? God is looking to you and he's looking to me to be looking around. For me to be looking around the people of the world that I'm in and do what I can to help. He wants your spiritual eyes wide open so that you and I can see the need and respond to the need. Maybe we need to ask ourselves from time to time, whose good Samaritan am I going to be today? Whose Barnabas am I going to be today? We need to realize our focus is not on ourselves to live our lives just for what gains us place and prominence, but how we can help the world around us. And so you want to filter out the uncluttered, the cluttery things in your lives and just kind of let those take a sideline as they ought to? Then remember. Remember why you're here. Remember who you are. And remember why you're here. And then also this morning from this passage of Philippians chapter 3, remember where you're going. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize. Get that. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You and I need to keep focus that as long as we remain faithful to God, there is something grand and glorious waiting up ahead. All we have to do is hold on for just a little while. Just hold on for a few years. Heaven is a promise, you see. Heaven is not a maybe. Heaven is not an if. Heaven is not a hope so. Heaven is a promise. And that promise is made sure by the very one who's gone to prepare a place for us. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And then he says, if it were not so, in other words, if that wasn't really how it was, he says, I would have told you. I would have told you if that's not how it was. And then he says, but I go to prepare a place, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what? It ought to be a great encouragement for you and I that Jesus wants us to be where he is now. Nothing else ought to give you focus in this out-of-focus world like keeping your eyes fixed on being with Jesus in the after while. That is what helped Jesus endure, that there was a prize up ahead. And you know what? His world wasn't really that much different than ours. His was a world of injustice. His was a world of of people in high places, places of authority, abusing that authority. His world wasn't anything different. But in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, your Bible says that he endured contradiction of sinners against himself. Well, and he did that because he knew he was only here for a short time. When you're invited to places you know you shouldn't go, what is going to give you the courage to respectfully decline? Knowing that Jesus has prepared you a place in his home. It will help you to understand that there is something far greater to come than anything this world could ever offer to you. What would give you conviction to morally outlive this world? Well, the knowledge that one day, if you'll just hold on, you'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joy of your Lord." If you want to hear "well done," you have to have done well. And as long as we practice that in our lives, it'll help us be focused on that goal. What will strengthen you when you're tempted? Well, the realization that many before you have successfully overcome, and they're waiting to welcome you home. There's that cloud of witness the Hebrew writer talks about in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Realize that you're going somewhere, and that this life is just temporary, that one day, all of the troubles and trials and struggles of this world, they'll just vanish, and those concerns won't even be of a concern anymore. And that will help you to let the things of this world that are so distracting and so chaotic and so confusing just sort of melt away and help you to focus on what's really important. So remember where you're going. Remember who you are. Remember that you have a job to do. And remember where you're going. I want to close with this morning. I came across this the other day. It's about a professor in the University of Pennsylvania Law School, and for 20 years he would start his first class of every semester with two figures he would put on the blackboard. It would be the figure 4 and the figure 2. He put them in that order with nothing in between, just those two numbers, 4 and 2. And then he would ask his class, "Well, what's the solution to those two numbers?" Well, inadvertently, one student would holler out and say, "Well, the answer is 6. And he came to that answer because he added those two numbers. Another would say, "Well, the answer is 2, because they subtracted the two numbers." And then several would say, "Well, the answer is 8, because they multiplied the numbers." But Professor Keeley would let that go on for just a minute, and then he would stop them. And he would point out one very crucial thing. He would say, "All of you failed to ask the key question. And the question is, what is the problem? Unless you know what the problem is, you cannot possibly find the answer." Brethren, from our time this morning, the answer is Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14 in a spiritual context. And that answer is to forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the answer. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're here to do. Are there lots of problems in our world? Sure there is. Is there lots of chaos and things that just should not be happening, and things that make you shake your head in bewilderment or disgust? Sure there is. Are there lots of problems you and I will face in our day-to-day lives? Sure there are. Buckets and buckets of problems. What's the answer? The answer is, I press toward the mark or the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Remember who you are. Remember why you are here. And remember where you're going. And it will help you to focus in this life on the fact that there are a lot of things that are just things that we have to put up with while we're here. But if we stay focused on those things, then our lives before God will be lived in such a way that we have aim and direction, and that we can make it through whatever this world has to throw at us. If there's any way we at the Beacon Church of Christ can help you with anything in your life in a spiritual way or even in a physical way, we pray that you would give us the opportunity to serve you in whatever needs you may have. Please just call us or text to us or or write to us or leave a message on our phone machine or contact us through our Facebook page. We'll be happy to do whatever we can to assist you in your life. Thank you again for listening to our program. Hope and pray you might tune in the coming weeks ahead.